He's also experiencing load shedding, so he's trying to connect. So we'll just give him a few minutes, and then we hope that he would have joined in at least by 10 past. Thank you very much, Honorable Members and Honorable Deputy Minister and guests. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's why it's been a struggle to connect, and I see messages of people that would be experiencing load shedding. I've already experienced two already. I hope I'll stay connected. May I just check before we do the formalities of opening up the meeting if we have required quorum to proceed?
Definitely, Chairperson, we may proceed with the meeting. We have enough numbers to proceed. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ngom. Honorable members, greetings to yourselves, as I also greet
recording in progress.
Deputy Minister Sweya, the department, MTDA entity as led by the board, fellow South Africans who are following us in the different platforms, as well as those civil society and other interested stakeholders who would have joined our platform today. We are indeed meeting at a time when the country once was faced with a disaster that needs all of us to keep those affected in our prayers, as well as make contributions in different ways, in the way South Africans are known of, that of human solidarity with those that may be facing difficulties, as we would have done before, not only in the country, but also in the world when others are faced with difficult situations. Of course, this requires, as we look at those that are coming before the committee today, the Government Communication and Information Systems Department, as well as its entity that looks at community media, that we need to do whatever it's possible to keep the nation informed, especially recognition of the efforts of the ordinary people on the ground, who are showing in different ways the need to still have solidarity with each other. And that we do so in a way that also rebuke fake news that may also be propelled in this period, as these may distract the attention of the country and its people to the work at hand, which is that of helping those that are affected. And that happens when we also uplift the stories of those that are doing well as ordinary citizens, NGOs, dedicated government employees who are making sure that services are delivered. And if we do so, we would indeed dispel the narrative that everybody who is in the public service may be corrupt before even any act of corruption is committed. So we need to deal with that narrative by also promoting, as I said, good stories of ordinary citizens, NGOs, and other dedicated government employees who are ready to give service to our people. Most of them, as I said, NGOs and members of society who are not expected to be rewarded in any way post this, except for us as a country to recognize their efforts. If we're to do that, it will have a great deal in focusing the country to the task at hand. Of course, we are also meeting, having heard the commitment of the country as represented by His Excellency, the President of the Republic, Honorable Cyril Ramaphosa, addressing the nation last night. And I think as a country would really have to rally behind that message and ensure that the efforts of government and all the partners that they're working with are indeed about serving the people. Sadly, we would also have received sad news of the passing on of Mr. Thabo Masebe, which is in circulation. A well-known government communications communicator of times. And of course, it is not just Gauteng that may have lost out of his service, but the country generally, in particular those that have been in the government communication space for some time. And our condolences go to family, friends, and everybody else in the country who have been directly or indirectly affected by his passing on. Honorable members, having made those brief remarks and that we are correcting, would then, as a way of dispensing with formalities, take the apologies after I've just outlined the rules so that we also do not disturb the person that will be on the platform when apologies received. That we are just reminded quickly of the rules on this platform. Firstly, that at all times we keep our mics muted, video camera off, unless you are recognized by the chairperson. In that case, the chair would recognize you to speak and you'll unmute your mic as well as switch your video camera on. In a case where you experience network connectivity challenges, please do indicate so that we also allow you to switch off your video camera in a way that maximizes your bandwidth, as well as allowing us to follow your presentation or points you are making on the platform. In a situation where people would lose connection and reconnect to the meeting, just ensure that at all times when you reconnect to the meeting, that your mic is muted, the video camera is off, to avoid distractions that may be made by background sounds that the mic would be picking up, as mics are sensitive and would pick up any sound from the background. So this will help us have a smooth running meeting with less disruptions. On point of orders, members as a guide are also advised not to raise a necessary point of orders to a point of collapsing the meeting at this platform. But the same rules would apply, that you would keep your mic muted even if you were to raise a point of order until you are recognized by the chairperson of the meeting, in which case you'd be allowed to proceed to raise the point of order. Having said all that, honorable members, like I said, you are welcome now to the meeting. We would then allow committee support to speak to apologies that may have been received for purposes of record. Over to you, Mr. Mumah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Once again, good morning to you and good morning to other to the members, the Deputy Minister and colleagues that are on the platform. Chair, we only have one apology, which came from the Office of the Minister in the Presidency, Mr. Montlhuko Ngubele. Is unfortunately not able to attend this meeting. He will be today attending a signing ceremony of the United Nations Sustainable Development Cooperation Framework, but has since delegated the Deputy Minister to attend. That is the only apology that we have for this morning, Chairperson, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ngoma. Of course, I'm not sure if you would have not received the apology, which would have been forwarded to Ajira, because I don't see here the members, but I did get an indication that Honorable Bodlani may join us late. Maybe if she has joined, that would be fine. In case not, the indication was that there are connectivity issues regarding load shedding on the side and may join the meeting as it proceeds. I have also been informed that Honorable Bolan has just shown that she's now on the platform. Okay, Honorable Bolan. You can mute then. If you can hear us, you can mute. The line is not good. You can mute.
It's kicking me out because I am here now.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Bolan. We can really hear the network is bad that side. But there was also a standing apology of Honorable Mtembu, who's still not well. I'm not sure if she's been able to finally connect, but that's the indication from the committee secretary Ajira at the time before she was not able to get it. So if we can take those apologies also on board. I take it that that's clearer. Will then honorable members work on getting to business of the day, where we are considering, as we flag the agenda, where we are considering the adoption of the program, as well as a presentation that we would get from GCIS on annual performance plan and budget, and the MDDA as well. And of course, the MDDA also needed to give us a report on outstanding matters on governance issues as it relates to the meeting we've had previously. I think as a way of guiding the meeting, I want to confirm that indeed there has been a report with regard to the GCIS presentation and a report from the MDDA on the APP. But the matters that we said outstanding, there's not been a report circulated to members, meaning that we have not received such a report. And as I say, in guiding the meeting so that we do not discuss without information before us and only rely on what could be in the media space on the happenings in an entity. Would then plead with members that we take only the report that we have received, which relates to the APP of MDDA when we get to MDDA. And that report on the outstanding matters would approach as follows. Would make an application to have the MDDA coming before the committee to deal with those matters and guiding what we need to be responded to as a committee. The content advisor would look at the report that was presented to us by the MTDA, which has not been contested by the MTDA in its presentation. And that's the basis on which we're working on that report. That the report has not been withdrawn. It has not been contested in the meeting, including the summary that we would need the MTDA to come back and report to the committee. That then the content advisor would then advise on the specific questions we have asked on the matters that we needed feedback on, so that that report could be circulated to the members before we get to such a meeting, which will allow members to do also their own research and be able to make informed contributions in that meeting. We do this as part of the oversight work we need to do with the entities. So it is not only the MTDA, just to be clear on the matter. It's also that the GCIS has got an entity oversight unit that does oversight on the entities that report to GCIS. We would also want to also get a report on the day from the entity oversight on the interventions that could have been made and whether action plans that have been agreed upon are being implemented, as they have more time and regularity of reports that get received. So in that score, it will then help us to make informed decisions. And I think the point to really make, so that there's no confusion about what we have asked for, is that we would be very clear on this. The report we need emanates from a quarterly report. And yes, there may be new developments in the MTDA, where we have an issue of the CEO, which matter we are told has been referred to the CCMA. And it has never been our role to be either the union nor the employer for us to discuss contract-related matters or operational matters. However, if those would affect the governance of the entity, we should also be taken into confidence and we'll be able to make the necessary contributions as the stability of these entities, it's our concern. So I thought, members, I should clarify this point so that when we get to the actual item, it's already understood that we do not have such a report before us, and would want space to have that discussion with the MTDA and the entity oversight of the department. And that for today we'll consider the APP, which was already circulated and members would have gone through. So I'm doing this so that when the deputy minister takes platform, this is understood, honorable members. So in that score, would, as we usually do, give the deputy minister, Honorable Temsweya, to speak to us as a way of introducing both GCIS and the MTDA that's coming before us to present the APPs. This also presents an opportunity to the deputy minister to take the committee into confidence on any matter of public interest that South Africans would also know about. Thereafter, we'll then take the presentation in the order it appears on the agenda, starting with GCIS as well as the MTDA. Would indeed afford 20 minutes to GCIS, taking into account that, as I said, they also deal with entity oversight and, of course, take the MTDA for 15 minutes. So that will be 35 minutes. We take that at once And honorable members will take note of what they want to raise and then only raise it after the second presentation. That will maximize our time and ensuring that qualitatively we can engage before we lose many of those that have indicated that they may lose connectivity because of plant load shedding in their spaces. I take it, honorable members, that is much clearer. That's how we're going to approach today's presentations. Deputy Minister, Honorable Swahir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible. I'm also in a load shedding challenge. So I hope that you can be able to hear me. The connectivity is a problem. Let me start by greeting yourself, greet members of the committee, my colleagues from MDDA and GCIS, MDDA led by the board chair, Mr. Tlangani Mathebula, and from the GCIS, the DG, DG Pumla Williams and the team, and everybody else, and South Africans, I'm thinking and I'm assuming that the committee might be streamed on the parliamentary YouTube and so on. No, indeed, we're going to the two entities will present the report as you have stipulated. Just on a few highlights, I also don't want necessarily to go into detail. They'll go into detail. Just to take you into confidence in relation to what you have requested, Chair, just to say that the issue in relation to what is already in the media about the MDDA, we have received a report or a notification rather from the board to inform us that they have suspended the CEO and that they will keep us abreast in relation to the issues. So that is as far as the issue is. You'd remember that the CEO is accountable to the board, and we are trustful that the board in due time will come back to us and update us in relation to whatever process that they're engaged in. We are not, the issue is still sub judice because she's suspended, and I want to assume that the legal processes which they might be embarking on. And when they have come back to us, we'll come back to the committee to come and give you a concrete response in relation to what is it that is being done. And also just to touch on what you had spoken about, when the situation in KZN started, the GCIS formed part of the provincial structure together with the provincial net joint together with COXTA and the provincial government in relation to doing some work. Subsequent to that, yesterday, the president then informed the nation that is a national state of disaster. And then immediately a national net joint was formed, and the GCIS is also part of that. Part of the work which they have been able to do, which they are also going to continue to do, but of course at a national space, they have been engaged together with the provincial government and COXTA, like I indicated, in relation to loud hailing, media briefings, and media coordination. I'm sure you have also seen various members of cabinet going there. That has also been coordinated by GCIS. Also the social media communication and just coordinating information even to the locals through loud hailing to inform our people that these are the drop-in centers. These are the areas where you can go for shelter, but also just to inform and take into confidence South Africans in relation to what is happening and coordination of information as a whole. So they have been doing that at a provincial level. And from yesterday, like I indicated, the matter has been escalated to a national net joint, and we're going to continue to do the work. Of course, you know, with disasters, what I just want to submit to the committee as we'll be engaging is that you must also feel free to make contributions in relation to where do you think we also need to add so that we can find a better outcome. Of course, lives have been lost, condolences and so on, but we can be able to better manage it. And I think that as South Africans, it has all affected us in an unplanned and uncoordinated way. We're doing everything in our power, but I think we still have room. From a communication point of view, you can also highlight to us where you think maybe we need to tighten and improve so that we can be able to do a better job. So I'm going to request that in the order of the program, the agenda, we allow colleagues to take the committee through so that we can be able to engage with the report. If I'm in and out, it's because of the network, but I am here so that we can also be able to engage and clarify where committee members would need clarity. And I'm just also going to reemphasize, like you said, Chair, that my colleagues, as you present, if maybe you can try and go straight to the issues and not let's speak to the report and not necessarily do page by page, but because also we must take into account the challenges of load shedding and how it affects the network so that we don't deprive other colleagues of an opportunity to be able to participate. So speaking to the report would be much, much, much better and time saving so that there can be more time for engagement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. As I said, we'll then take GCIS. I'm sure DG Williams will be able to direct your team. Thereafter, we'll take MDDA without taking a break in between so that we can be able to time ourselves better. So you have 20 minutes. It starts now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to the honorable members, and greetings also to the DM, and thank you for the intro, and good morning to my colleagues from the MDDA. Chairperson, as you had said, we will try and also advise by the DM, we will try and talk to our presentation because I believe it has already been circulated. But allow me also, Chairperson, to also pay tribute to Mr. Thabo Masebe, who was once a regular member of the GCIS delegation to this portfolio committee, a seasoned government communicator, and a true dedicated public servant. We, as GCIS, would also like to extend our deepest condolences to the family of Masebe. And to us as a government communication fraternity, we also feel the loss of that family. And Chairperson, going into our presentation, I am with the delegation that will assist me, but we will certainly assure you that we will keep to the time. I have the DDG of content processing, Rehoma Vimbela, and together with the CFO, Toby Sasotri, and also the acting DDG in Michael's portfolio, who's still on leave, Ms. Muipeng Tswane. They will be assisting me, but just as an intro, Chair, is just to re-emphasize that our mandate is drawn from the Constitution, that we, whatever we do, we seek to make sure that we close the information deficit to our society by providing the information to the citizenry. We also have the mandate of making sure that we coordinate the communication and ensure some kind of coherence in the message that is coming out from government as a whole. So and in that way, we just want to highlight also some of the products that assist us in actualizing this coordination. The national communication policy that we can, which was signed off by cabinet, is on our website. We've also a communication handbook that guides communicators how they should conduct themselves. And we also provide a communication framework. And we have a whole range of forums, which I think my colleagues, when they articulate some of the targets and indicators and activities, will also reflect some of the forums that we have that assist communicators in making sure that they remain consistent to the ethos of government communication and the ethos of the public service as a whole. We also want to also indicate that we continue to have a presence Initially, Chairperson, we used to have a present predominantly in provinces, but with the district development model, we have also tried to bring down our communication at a district level in supporting all the district plans continuously. We also want to say that in the past 2 years, we've really had a very successful content communication campaign around COVID. And I'm saying the last 2 years because you will see in our presentation, we are now scaling down on the messaging, but not completely stopping it, but scaling down because I think the funding around the communication campaign on COVID has not been renewed. So I think we are going to be scaling down in some of our campaign. And Chairperson, just as also highlighting that as the GCIS, we've really had a very successful governance framework activities around accountability with the resources that Parliament had allocated to us. But we are also saying that we have not been spared with the budget cuts, but we want to assure the members that we have tried as much as we possibly can with the limited resources that are appropriated through the Parliament to close the information gap within our society, because we do appreciate that information is power. We also want to say that we have continued to be alive to the manner in which communication is consumed by society, the coming into the space of social media with its challenges has also been part of what we have been grappling with. So our colleagues at this point, I will hand over to my colleagues to just further unpack what we are seeking to do with the limited resources, because you will see some of our targets, we are scaling them down because the budget has been removed. So I think at this point, I'd like to invite Zobisa to also talk to the program one and also to maybe talk to the CFO so that we save the time, combine program one and also simultaneously talk to the finances, and then hand over to Reho, who will talk to the content. Thank you, Chair. Zobisa.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members on the platform. I will take you through Program 1, APP targets, as well as the budget for GCIS. For 2022-2023, we have two targets, which is the maintaining the vacancy rate of below 10%, as well as also ensuring that our governance reports are made available and presented to the audit committee. We had a target of clean audit, but due to the fact that for the past 7 years we have achieved clean audits, we have decided to remove the target at the APP level, but let it remain at the AOP level so that we monitor and ensure that we don't regress from what we have been achieving over the past years. In terms of the budget, as the DG have said, we have seen serious budget cuts over the MTF period. Over the period, we are estimating that our allocation will be around 2.1 billion. For 2022-23, we are allocated 719.9 million. For 2023-24, we are allocated 714.9, with a reduction of 5 million from the current financial year. And then we see an increase in the 2024-25, with a budget of 746.8 million. The budget structure depicts that our evolving economic reality of the declining and stagnating budget, as we have seen over the 7 year horizon, and also as a country we are bombarded with the declining economy, high rate of unemployment, as well as the high inflation. If I would like to inform that the Chairperson that over the MTF period, we have not only lost the financial support from Treasury, but we have also lost 42 posts over the MTF period. We have lost the post from 510 headcount. It has been reduced to 468 so that it fits into the COE budget that we have been allocated over the MTF period. We have also seen a decline in the goods and services budget, which means that we have to make sure that we offer and use other means to bridge the gap on the APP targets that we have to reduce that the DG has spoken about. Also on capital budget, we have also seen a decline. We allocated 2.1 million for the capital budget. And we're saying that as CIS, we had planned to ensure that we are digitizing some of our service, and we had submitted a submission to Treasury requesting a budget of around 39.9 million over the MTF period so that we augment our IT infrastructure as well as increase our bandwidth, both at head office as well as at provinces, including the districts. But however, we haven't received any approval for the capital budget. And we're saying that as a GCIS, we are in the environment where the communication environment is changing, and we have to make sure that we are alive and we are aligned to those changes to make sure that our infrastructure, especially the communication infrastructure, it should be in line, and also it should be compatible with the other stakeholders that we are working with, meaning the SABC and other communication platforms. So if that infrastructure is not upgraded, then we might be unable to connect with those stations. Chairperson, I think that is the end of the budget. Thank you. Over to you, Reho.
Thank you, Commissar. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, our Deputy Minister and DG. The program that I'll present on is content processing and dissemination. And the purpose of the program is really just to provide strategic leadership in government communication to ensure coherent, coordinated, and consistent quality and impact government communications. The outcomes in the program is really just to ensure that we have informed and empowered citizens. And the other outcome is to ensure that we have a transformed digital and print media platforms and community media. So in the program, we have four units. I'll take you through the one unit. I'll take you through the units one by one. So in products and platforms, this is where we actually produce different material, printed and digital platforms that are aimed at reaching the citizens. I'm sure you are aware of Vukuzenzele. We print we actually distribute 10.2 million copies per annum. However, we had to reduce that target of printed copies due to budgetary constraints that have already been outlined by the CFO. But at the same time, we're increasing our digital footprint. So we've introduced a digital platform. But as you know, that when you introduce an app, so we have this as an app that can be downloaded via a Google Play Store. It needs to be promoted, and that's where we are failing short because of budgetary constraints. The others that we do is language translations of languages. And growing also on our digital platforms, we spoke about digital communication, making sure, I mean, even now during these devastating times of the floods, that we communicate via online platforms. We've also grown in that area. And then we've got another area, which is policy and research, where we actually guide and make sure that communication messages are coordinated, as the DG has already outlined, to make sure that government speaks with one voice. So every morning we issue out key messages. And from last night, when the president went on the podium and pronounced that we're going on to a national state of disaster, key messages were disseminated to province, to the different departments, to the different ministries, to make sure that we speak with one voice, are all aligned. And
there was a concern earlier on the key messages only being done on the way we report. We say excluding weekends and public holidays, maybe when you get hold of the report, but the public holidays, it means it's over and above as per the situation of yesterday. And in addition to that, we do actual research. So we go out and do surveys just to get the perception of citizens on government priorities so that we are aligned and our programs speak to what the citizens' perception is on the ground. We've got another unit, which is Communication Services Agency. This is where we do the media plans, campaigns of other departments. For example, the media buying unit has got also a sophisticated targeting system, the issue of budget has been mentioned many times, but I'll mention it again that having adequate budget enables us to be able to go through the media plans and make sure that the message is targeted and reaches the right citizens. We have a radio and graphic design unit where we produce a radio products and services. The target for this annual, the annual target is 500 radio products. And this is where we do coverage. For example, the district model broadcast, we cover it from there so that we broadcast to as many community radio stations as possible. We actually have a service where through CENTEC, we're able to broadcast to all the community radio stations, and we do that for free. We don't expect them to pay for that service to us. And that is also something that requires budget. We do news bulletins on a daily basis, 12 and 3 every day, and provide to the community radio station. So it actually shows what a critical platform this is to make sure that the community stations are also informed, and they informed the citizens. The media policy is really about transforming the media environment. And on March the 21st, we launched the Marketing and Advertising Council. It's a council that is aimed at transforming that industry, which is has been really a laggard in transformation. And efforts are really being made. The council is appointed, and they've already started having their first meeting to get that process going. Thank you very much.
Muipeng is our last presenter. Muipeng.
Thank you, DG, and good morning to the chair and members of the committee, and to the minister and colleagues from the MDDA.
DG. DG.
Yes.
Yeah, so that this could not be seen. There's been a request, really, that when you are referring to a particular slide, just to also get the others in the audience to know what you're talking about would help. But I saw that message could not be read. So I'm just doing it so that even with the MDDA, we'd not get to that. Please, thank you.
Thanks, our apology, Chair. Muipeng, can you make reference to the slides that you are talking to, please?
Thank you, DG. I am talking to the slides around intergovernmental coordination.
I was just saying, if you can show the slide you are talking to, it's for the other audience participants.
Oh, so you are suggesting we flight? You are suggesting we?
Yes, the slide that you may be talking to. Remember, you said we said talk to the presentation. But for those who do not have document with them, it seems there's a struggle it's to follow. Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure you get the correction. Yeah.
Are you able to flight the slides, Tobisa, so that Muipeng can talk to it?
Yes, DG, I'm presenting the slide.
Chair, I'm just also busy trying to get Ms. Sokwe to be co-host so that she's able to share the documents.
Thanks.
I think Ms. Sokwe can now share. She has co-host rights, so she should be able to share the document now. Thank you.
Is it visible from your side?
Yes, it is.
Just do on a slideshow and then go to Moipeng's presentation.
Muipeng?
Yeah, just go to Muipeng's slides.
Yes, DG, I'm on program 3.
I'm not sure others whether they see it.
It doesn't show.
Okay, let me stop and reshare. Is it showing now?
Yeah, I think we are on program 3. Muipeng?
Thank you, Chair. I think the first slide is around the branch, intergovernmental communication and stakeholder management, which is built up with two chief directorates who are coordinating the work of the clusters. And the Media Engagement Chief Directorate, as well as the Provincial and Local Liaison Chief Directorate. Basically, the anticipated outcomes are around improved relations with the media, the well-functioning government communication system, and informed and empowered citizens. If I may go through straight to the targets, you may go to the next slide, Govisa, thank you. Yes, thank you. We have planned 24 engagement between government officials and senior journalists on government key programs in the national strategic plan. Basically, this we refer to this as technical briefings, where we provide broader context to the senior journalists and members of the media on the programs that we are undertaking as government, so that they can also have a proper context on the rationale behind some of the programs. We also have ordinary media briefings, post-cabinet meetings, as well as statements that we normally issue. And the target is 17 chairperson and members of the committee. And we also provide support to some of the government departments who undertake—
We have lost you, maybe.
We can hear.
Can hear. We can hear.
Am I audible? Okay,
yes.
Thank you, Chair. We also provide support to government departments who undertake media briefings to unpack some of the content around their portfolios and other policies of government. In terms of the target, with our engagements with head of communication in the national sphere, chairperson and members of the committee, we are having a target of 2 engagements. Basically, what we're trying to do is to enhance coordination in the national sphere, especially around key campaigns like the one that we are running with on the KZN floods. We coordinate communicators so that we can be on the same page. We share content and we also provide research findings that my colleague from Branch 2 has alluded to. In terms of harmonizing communication in the internal with public servants, if I may put it that way, we normally have sessions where we call on all internal communication practitioners so that they can also serve as messengers in their respective departments to make sure that they have the right content as well as messaging of government on key campaigns. The four communication campaigns in the next point is our target. Basically, it's around communication around the economic recovery program of government, GBVF, crime and corruption, and service delivery related communication. In terms of capacity building, Chair and members of the committee, we have planned to undertake 20 communication training opportunities. Basically, we dedicate this training to new entrants in the communication system. We also do refresher sessions, given the dynamic nature of communication as a discipline. And we also undertake capacity building interventions to political principals to support them in terms of, you know, dispatching government from communication. In terms of the development communication, this is with regards to the provincial and local liaison chief directorate and chair. We plan to undertake not less than 1,140 development communication projects aligned to the national communication framework. These are projects that are led by the GCIS from, you know, conceptualization until in implementation, and they also mobilize other role players to make sure that we increase a multiplicity of voices in those communication projects. We also mobilize other stakeholders to make sure that they support government, especially community-based formations. We also work with them so that we can also, you know, provide context in terms of our communication programs and to make sure that we are on the same page and to also enhance our impact. With my district today, a newsletter, chairperson and members of the committee, we try to profile positive stories that are triggered by government interventions in various provinces, because we all know that the mainstream media will always talk to negative issues, but as the GCIS in provincial spaces, we try to talk to beneficiaries of government programs and to also make sure that communities are aware of some of the interventions that government is working on to improve their lives. In terms of how we harmonize communication across the provincial and local spheres of government, we plan to produce four reports on an annual basis to make sure that we appraise members of the committee in terms of our interventions around solidifying, you know, government communication system at provincial and local level. This is done through coordinating forums in the form of provincial government communication forum, the district communication forum, the technical district hubs to support the district development model. And we also support the politically led district development model outreaches. So basically that's the slice of work that will be undertaken in the new financial year, chairperson and members of the committee. I'll end there, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I conclude without really going through this? We've just flagged this slide just to orientate the honorable members of where we come from with our 5-year strategic plan and the fact that we are halfway through. But as part of my conclusion is also to say, Chairperson, information dissemination in this country remains a challenge. And it is not an exciting thing for us to say the budget of information continues to be reduced. However, we also want to indicate the implications of that is that it means we are not making progress in achieving what we sought to achieve in 1994, that we want to close the gap of information deficit for the poor, particularly in rural areas. I think Tobisa was making mention of the reduction of some of the personnel. One of the interventions that we had made in 1994 is that we will not replace the face-to-face engagement with our communities. And that is a weak part that we want to say we have had to scale it down, because we had people who were allocated districts to encourage dialogue and unlocking some of the information gap in those particular areas. So I think we will continue to have a challenge. Unfortunately, yes, the social media or the manner in which information is consumed will never replace the hard information that is still required, because this connectivity still remains a challenge in our country. So there are still those communities that we are expected to still service without necessarily depending on digital or website. So that's what we conclude our presentation, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Teacher Williams and the team, MDDA, the board chair.
Thank you, Chair.
We'll proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members, and honorable Deputy Minister. We would want to add our voice in expressing our condolences to the Masebe family and the country at large. And it is indeed a very sad day in the government communication sector. We also, Chair, would like to welcome your opening comments around an appointment that the board comes to take the committee in its confidence around the various issues that you have outlined. We'll await the invitation to be able to do that. I must indicate that I am joined by the three board members that I have seen in the call, being Mr. Hussein Kajika, Ms. Brenda Leonard, and Ms. Zanele Mgadi. It is very important, Chairperson, from our perspective, to indicate that as regards the national state of disaster that has been declared by the President, the MDDA will do its part. And as it is, we do have some of the projects that have been affected by the happenings in the KZN. And as we meet on Friday, the board will be considering some interventions that will be done there. At this moment, Chair, I would like to ask Mr. Mzukashe, who is the acting CEO, to really talk to the presentation as has been presented. I have requested that we dispense off with introductory slides, but really just go into the meat of the presentation and just talk to it. Not necessarily, as you requested, not necessarily read through the presentation, Mzuzu.
Okay, Chair, can you see my screen?
We can see it.
Okay, no, all right. Oh, thank you very much. MDDA board members that are here, colleagues from GCIS and MDDA, good morning. So as the chairperson had said, I'll shoot straight to slide 9, because I think this was just the introduction of the agency.
So if I go straight to this slide, I think this is a situation analysis. It just paints a picture from what these external factors affecting our internal operation. Just to say that from the social perspective, I think there's an issue for us to mainstream both gender and disability. We are also, in terms of economic, we're saying we do have a shrinking budget, as colleagues have said, and contracting economy. And the other side of the coin is that we continue to have increasing printing and transmission costs. And then politically perspective, it's the issue of MDDA Act review, which is the MDDA Act is going to be 20 years next year and seriously needs to be amended. So we are busy with the process to ensure that this process taken to conclusion. And last and the most important one is the issue of the legal, where we talked about 30% advertising spend. I think this is an issue that must be implemented. I think as departments are giving GCIS money for the advert spend, there needs to be a consideration that the 30% to community media platform must be adhered to. This is an important aspect and a pillar of the sustainability model. And then if I go straight to the SOAR analysis, this is just an analysis which used to be called SWOT analysis. Now it's SOAR because it looks to an issue of both aspirations and results. I think the most important thing for us in aspiration would be the self-sustaining community media. Those are our aspirations. And in results, we want to ensure that there's a decline in repeat funding requests so that we can support more districts. And obviously, we also want to make sure that we are known as the innovation hub of the sector. If this will just be the and then if I zoom in straight into the APP, we still have the indicator for unqualified audit with no significant findings. For the past consecutive 2 years, we've managed to achieve this and we continue to have this in the APP. You'll also see that both the fruitless and the regular expenditure with the 0%, that we have no margin of errors when it comes to matters. And I would go into then the core business of MDDA, which is the number of funding applications for community broadcast and also for small commercial and digital print media. As you would see, honorable members, that we've kept a consistent number for the next MTF period, and we have done this as a conservative targeting. I think the MNE language, you'll call it a safe targeting. And the reason being is that we are a funder-dependent organization, and therefore, for us to really implement this program, we're solely dependent on the money that we received through the USAF levies. And if you would have noticed now in the media, currently one of our biggest funder, MultiChoice, is currently in hard competition with they call them over the top services, YouTube, Netflix, etc. And therefore would also want to implore that the committee assist us to put pressure on ICASA to ensure that these organizations are also regulated so that we can leverage in both ways. And then we would then go to the other, I think the other important indicator I wanted to also flag here is the issue of the sustainability model. This is obviously very important for us because this model must respond to the three strategic trust of sustainability. It must respond to the infrastructure, which MDDA is assisting in terms of rollout. It is must assist in terms of capacity building, although that MDDA is also has an intervention, but it's very minimal, because the belief is that there would be no sustainability without capacity. And the third one is the issue then of linking media outlets to economic opportunities. Hence, I'd raised the issue of 30% from the government expect to ensure that there is some linkage to economic opportunities from a government perspective, and later would look at the intervention from the private side. And then private sector side. And then I think these are just risks and mitigation, safe to say that one of our biggest risks historically was approval of policies because the board was not correcting. But I think since we've had, for the past 2 years, we've not had experienced those challenges of correcting. And I would then, this moment, Chair, allow the CFO, Mr. Yasin Asmal, to take us through the summary budget. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Committee, Honorable Deputy Minister, Board and colleagues. Chair, I think I'm not going to reiterate the point that was mentioned by the GCIS in terms of the shrinking budget. And that obviously has an impact in terms of our deliverables. Mr. Kashi spoke previously that we are a funding organization, and thus we are dependent on donor funding, and especially on the CASA levies. And that depends on the amount of revenue that is generated by the funders, Chair. So that impact comes through, and it comes through in terms of how much money we have available to actually split amongst beneficiaries that apply and that are approved for funding, Chair. Chair, over the last few years, we've seen a decline, obviously, in the interest rate. The interest rate has increased in the last few months, so there's an impact in terms of the amount of money we should be able to generate out of it, Chair. Chair, when we do our budgets, regarding the broadcast funders, Chair, we take a more conservative approach in terms of what monies we should receive. We don't use the actuals of the previous years, as we've seen from the pandemic year. There were reducing revenues, etc. Was specifically the outcome of COVID, Chair. Chair, in terms of funding, our other fund comes from the fiscal, and this year, Chair, Treasury actually gave us an additional $3 million, which we motivated so that we can implement and do more projects with regard to print and have more money to fund print, Chair, because we're struggling in terms of the amount of money available for print, Chair. Chair, in a nutshell, Chair, I think the fiscus is strained. We are strained in terms of amount of money that we have, the amount of budget that we have available in terms of what we can implement. And that can be seen by the targets that have been set, Chair. Thank you. Mr. Kasha, back to you.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much. I think that concludes our presentation. Over to you, Chair.
That will be the presentation from MDDA, but before I hand back, I would also want to welcome, Chair, the appointment of the two board members that the committee has gladly assisted us with. It is obviously still going through the normal processes, but we did get a communication that indicates that the two board members have been appointed. So we really want to express our appreciation for that assistance. Thanks so much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Matabula, Board Chair of MDDA and your team. Honorable members, as I said, would then take questions, comments, contributions based on the presentations as they would have been circulated to members. Mr. Ngoma, you'll then assist me also on your side to identify those members who would want to contribute. Am I still audible?
From my side, Chair, yes, you are. And I'm just also experiencing connection challenges, so I'm also in and out. But you are audible, Chair. Thank you.
I'm now inviting honorable members who want to contribute on the presentation.
I don't see hands on my side, Chair, and we do have members that are on the platform. As I can see on my screen, I'm not sure if the connection is doing them justice, but I don't see any hands on my side.
Okay.
Whilst you are waiting, Chair, can I just request Terence from MDDA just to give back the hosting rights? Thank you.
I think for those who are experiencing challenges of raising hands, please just unmute your mic so that I see you are trying to get, and otherwise I'll take it as though members are satisfied with the presentation and no further comments to make. I see Honorable Mlala has been getting to the screen. Honorable Mlala. Of course, I can't hear you because you're muted.
Chairperson, perhaps you can just check with the members on the platforms if they are able to hear you. Thank you, Chair.
I would want to move from this point, just that I'm not sure if I'm the one not audible, or is it members who can't get through to the platform. If I may just check, honorable members, if I'm audible to you, as I would have asked for those that would want to comment on the presentations made, but also an indication if you are satisfied so that we are able to move forward. I've tried to check with the host, Mr. Ngoma here. I'm not sure if it's the system problem, but I would not want to keep the meeting if we have challenges of hearing each other. Because I've tried to check if members are still in the platform and that they hear. I have not had any response from any.
Sorry, Chair. This is DMC Way. Yes. Mina, I hear you. I think you are the only person that I hear and the administrator. I'm not sure about other colleagues. Even though others, like I was trying to check here, they get kicked in. So they are in and out, but I can hear you even though you keep cutting, you know, like the sound is not very clear, but I can hear you. maybe what colleagues can help us, my colleagues from DCIS and MDDA, maybe if we can just say hi, that will give confidence to the chair. Please let's do that. I see they are here. Even those ones from my office, I see, just say hi to the chair so that he can also have confidence that we are here.
I think chair, we can hear you.
Hi, thank you. We are here, chair.
We are still here.
We are available, chair.
So it means it's members that may not be available.
I'm available, chair.
Oh, Honorable Basopia, back now. I wanted to get members to comment on the presentation, but I couldn't get the response. So I thought because of the network challenges that people reported, I may be speaking to myself and not being heard by people in the platform. So you are here. And the other members, can they still hear? Because I also want us to move from the item, really.
Chair, can you hear me?
It's Honorable Kupera.
Now I can hear you, but I'm not sure if you were hearing me all along.
No, somehow it seems as if it was a problem of a network, chair, but I'm back now.
Okay. No, I just wanted members who wanted to comment on the presentation of the GCIS and MDDA, if there are comments to make or any contributions that members would want to make.
Can I come in, Chair?
Okay, proceed, Honorable Kubega.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Good morning to the Chair, the members who are present today, the officials of both on the side of the MDDA and also of the department, Chairperson. Firstly, let me welcome the two presentation, Chair, as these and the department and the entity have presented, and maybe by noting to say on the side of the GCIS, we are welcoming the presentation. And also, I think we have noted as they are raising on their side and of the budget, also to say it seems as if the budget is continuing to shrink, Chairperson. I think we have noted, because indeed when we are decreasing the budget on the side of the GCIS, you'll understand to say when coming to service delivery also it will be the challenge on their side. But let me say, safely to say, I think it needs to be taking into consideration the point that they have raised. But we are appreciating on the side of the APPs, and also to say we are noting, because if they want to deliver and to achieve whatever that they have put it on the side of the targets, they need to be given the support. So we are noting that side as they have raised, but seemingly we can see and hear that on the side of their presentation, they are trying their level best. We will keep on keeping an eye in order that they must achieve whatever that they want to achieve on those targets, Chair. Let me come on the side of the MDDA also. We are appreciating, and we have noting that the chair of the board also appreciating on the work that the portfolio committee have managed to push on those appointments that they have expected to be assisted in order that they can continue their work. But I would like to raise also on the side of the MDDA, as we are saying, we can see and hear also on the side of the APPs and the budget that they are trying, they are pushing. But since well, we were expecting the report, Chair, on the side of the governance, that as you have raised when you started to open the meeting to say, it seems as if there is no report on that side, and we are still waiting. We want to hear on the side of the governance. I would ask and have a plea on that side to say, let them prepare that report in order that the report must come to the portfolio in order to deal with those matters, Chair. So I hope they are listening, but we are also appreciating on that side of their APPs, and also to say, let them hold a fast in order that they can deliver in the manner that they want to deliver. But also we are fully much aware on the side of the grants to say it's still a challenge and a journey in order that they can see how best they can achieve in order that they can present. So I would appreciate and thank on the side of the DM, because she's the one who's driving also on RIS entity and the department. So we would like just to say, take into consideration, DM, we are still waiting for that report. We would like just to ask to say in the future, let the report of the governance side on the side of the MDTA being presented in the portfolio committee. I thank you, Chairperson. Chair, are you here?
Am I audible now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Chair.
All right. No, I could hear, but it seems you do not hear me. I've long opened up my mic. I think you've made the points and this commitment to getting the governance report. Yeah, it's unless there is a member I may be leaving out who really want to speak after Honorable Kubega would have spoken, so that I then raise the few points I wanted to raise. Let me get to one comprehensive response and then move towards close after meeting. I'm not sure if Mr. Ngoma is now back because he was also thrown out.
Yes, I am back, Chairperson, and there are no hands on my side.
No hands on your side? No, that's fine. I just wanted to just lift up two or three points on GCIS, maybe as you make your comments on what Honorable Kubega would have raised. The part about budget, I think it's something that the committee would have to take up, because in your targets, we have seen that you are also raising issues in relation to ICT, and that's a big problem for a government communications department when times are changing, moving more towards digital. But also maybe because the DG made an important point that in some of the areas where really digital has not been the platform and don't rely more on your hard approach to communication, whether it's distribution of Vukuzenzele as well as your face-to-face communication, and that the budgets affect that side. What we do not get to know, though, is what will then be the plan to keep those communities still informed in fulfilling what she referred to as the 1994 commitment in that regard. Just again on the MAC side, we did hear that a council may have been appointed and so on. But I think the worry is just the alignment question, that the structure is there. But in your plans, you are still talking about getting the code or the codes right, which will be the basis for you to intervene in that marketing and that in the advertising space. So is the alignment there.
So if you can speak to that when you respond, how you are dealing with that question, because that's an important transformation intervention in that space, the setting up of that council and ensuring that it regulates the space. So that will be the, I think for me, the two main questions I wanted to ask there. On the MDDA, because we'll still deal with the matters of governance, I think for me, two concerns that you may need to speak to, or three. One being that I saw in the targets, when it gets to paying invoices within the 30 days, for the other years, you are looking at 100%, but in the outer year, you are looking at 90%, which is, in my view, a regression. Just to check whether it's a typo error or it's really a commitment you are making that you'll regress once you get to the outer year. So that if that needs to be corrected, it can be corrected and we can measure you on what you've committed yourself to. Just again on the allocation of your grants or supporting of applications. There again, a bit of disjuncture. Maybe you may want to explain that. You are still talking to the model, and you continue to plan as though for the full term you will be looking at the old one. Is it because you have not finalized adjudication as well as probably no preliminary or final report on the model itself, so that we are sure, once again, that we are not just about dispensing those grants, but we do it in a way that is sustainable, that people cannot come back to the system all the time. But again, where others can indeed graduate from asking assistance from government, but are able to take the community media to the next level, that there's space to do so within the model. So those are the points I wanted to raise. So if, as you respond or commenting on what Honorable Kubeka would have raised, please talk to those two. Will be directed by you, DM, whether you'd want to come at the end or at the beginning and then give people to respond.
No, thank you, Chair. Just one for me. I think the other one's colleagues will venture into. I think it would be better if maybe in relation to the governance report, if maybe you can give us a time frame. You are saying in the next portfolio committee, we must maybe probably bring something so that we know that we are working on a particular deadline. The other inputs I'm taking them in and we're noting them for ourselves to be able to self-correct and relook into issues. And I'm also hoping that maybe by the time we come back to the portfolio committee, we shall be having a response or an update from the board of MDDA in relation to what is it that is happening. Because I'm presuming that also the update on governance will also capture some form of update from the board in relation to what you had said is in the media and you are seeking clarity about. I think those are the ones from me. So if maybe you can also just guide us in relation to a deadline. Thank you.
Chair, can I come in on the question you asked us?
Yes, please proceed.
Thanks. DG, Chairperson, you know, you raised an issue of saying, in the light of the cuts, what is the alternative? And I don't want us to sound like we are crybabies as a department, but we just wanted to paint a picture because you've been with us in this journey. When the cuts were made, prior to the year-on-year cuts, every district, we made sure that it is serviced, not only with content, but also with engagement. Just to cite the one on the gender-based violence, there was so much work we were doing on the ground in engaging with women and men in rural areas, which is an area where a lot of people don't appreciate the amount of gender-based violence at the community level and the educating of society around their rights, what they need to do, where they need to go to, why it is wrong to train a boy child in this way. Those dialogues used, we believe they were quite effective. We have had to stop them. Initially, we combined district with one person to combine two or three, but then it came with also costs because it meant that communicator need to have a lot of traveling costs. That traveling cost, we could manage it for a while. With the recent cost, we have had to stop because then they can't actually travel these long distances without depleting our budget. The IT, as we speak now, the studio in Parliament is no longer working. And it's a studio that was servicing even honorable members to beam to all community radio stations. That studio is no longer working because of the technology. The parliamentary briefing room, the one that we call Imbizo, it used to service the parliamentary media together with the Pretoria and across the country. If you notice, we haven't used it for a while. I think we are only assisted because of the new technology changes. But again, it is because of our infrastructure that is collapsing. So what you are asking me is sad to say we are losing the ground that we had made. And until we are able to convince whoever who listens that information in this country is doing this injustice to deprive South Africans with their right to know what is happening, it is sadly to say that we are not going to make any progress until our resources are actually adjusted accordingly. And that's what I can say. I think Rehoma wanted to say something on the MEP charter.
Thank you. Thank you, DG, honorable members and chairperson. On the MEC sector code, the sector code is there, however, it needs to be reviewed. So the council that has been appointed, it is their duty and their task to actually take the code on a public consultation process. So they'll be underdoing that so that the code can be updated and also be published on the government gazette for comments and be approved. So that is the target that we have for this year for ourselves, that the code be reviewed and published in the gazette and in the process of it being renewed. I thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, MDD, for Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, I would ask the CFO to respond to the issue of the targets in respect of the invoices, whether is it a typo or a true regression that is being seen there. Mzu or the CFO, can you respond to that question?
Oh, yes, Chair. No, it is a typo, honorable members. As you can see, slide 15, in terms of the year, MTF, it runs 100% across. And then when it was apportioned quarterly, I think that was just a typo to have it 90. And then the second question on the model, if you can see, according to our plan, we plan to have this model completed by end of this financial year, meaning that by 2023, and then we'll start rolling out the model then to ensure that we start stimulating the sustainability within the sector. So hence our targets then will remain as they are until the model is in full motion. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you.
Dan Butcher, with your team. But Chair, and your team, are you done?
Yeah, we're done, Chair. Thanks so much. I was struggling to unmute there. Thanks so much, Chair.
All right, thank you. I take it that in the absence of hands, there's been response to the questions we would have asked. And of course, where corrections need to be made, would be made. I think it's important because once their targets have been agreed, and there may have been an error, it will then stay with us as a way of measuring what you need to do. Maybe just in response as a way of summarizing the discussion, is that we do note the part in relation to budget. And this is a matter we would have to take it up also from the work we do in our party caucuses, just to lift up the importance of ensuring that people are kept informed and that this goes with the budgets. And sadly, we also hear of a possible loss of very important infrastructure on communications, which needs upgrade to be relevant with times. I think these are matters we should be able to take up. of course, from the side of the department, as a stopgap measure, maybe something to consider is how in the intervening period, the district development model would be utilized as a way of reaching out more communities with the little resources that you may have at this point. But this does not rule out the importance of still taking up the matter, because government, even in this sphere, which is national, has a responsibility to keep in touch with the communities. And surely those who had an opportunity of looking at the president's Mbizo, the Free State, recently, you will also see that there's real thirst shown by people to engage with their own government, other than just the digital space, but to have that understanding and the feel of engaging with government directly. So I think that's something we'll have to really take up. Of course, as it relates to the meeting, like I said in the opening, there will be interaction between the content advisor and your team there in terms of what you would expect from the report. I think out of that discussion, Deputy Minister, we should be understanding then your readiness on your side to come before the committee and present in the timelines that we may also get from the House Chair, as this would be an application outside of what we submitted as our program. So in that score, even though we would be adopting our program,
we know it's subject to change, but that change still needs the House Chair to give approval. So we'll be taking that into account as we engage with yourselves there. So I hope that clarifies. Doesn't help to say would put it in the next meeting and find that the information required may not be ready next week, Tuesday. I'm making it as an example, or on the third. And remember, already, according to the program, we already planned heavily for the other days that are coming. So it's a matter we'll be able to take. But what is important is the resolve of the committee that would have an appointment with the MTDA and the entity oversight of the department to look at those governance matters in the MTDA and how they are being dealt with in order to ensure stability of the entity and that it's able to deliver on its mandate. I hope that clarifies. So having made that clarity, it will then leave us with indeed only one item, Mr. Ngoma, if not mistaken, which will just be the adoption of the program as a formal decision of the committee. Mr. Ngoma, are you back?
Yes, I am here, Chairperson, and I'm preparing to share the program.
Okay. So with that, as the program is being shared, let me, in case we lose some people, let me take the opportunity of thanking the Deputy Minister, GCIS team, and MTDA for coming through. We would not hold you for this item where we just approved the program of the committee in case there are urgent matters that you need to attend to. Otherwise, you are still free to be on the platform. Thank you. Honorable members.
Thank you.
Honorable members, that's the program, the draft program as it has been circulated to yourselves. Of course, as it is the principle, our programs are subject to renewal as and when there are urgent matters that are referred to the committee, as well as matters of public interest that cannot escape the attention of the committee, that we are able to make an application and get those to come before us. So that's the program. You can scroll through. So that's the proposed program. May I invite members who would want to make a contribution or any amendments would want to that the meeting affect them, and then we submit the program in that score. May I check on that? If there are no.
Chairperson, I have my hand up.
Okay, Honorable Bojani.
Sorry, Chairperson, the network has just been bad today. Chairperson, on the program, I don't think I saw anything about oversight visits, and you can educate me. Should that not be part of the plan, considering there was also one that was cancelled because of that urgent sitting that we had before Parliament rose?
Okay, we note that, and I'm sure there will be some response to it with regard to parliamentary program. I just check with the content advisor and support staff if there is such in the period. But you are raising, of course, an important point with us in this committee, so many entities. I think we should be having more of these oversights to understand better what's happening. May I just check if the content advisor is on the platform? The comment support, maybe something to go and work on. Of course, taking into account the parliamentary program.
Thank you very much. Just to respond, I'm aware that the content advisor had informed me that he's also experiencing challenges. Chairperson, unfortunately, the parliamentary program oversight period is only this week, Chairperson. And unfortunately, again, Chairperson, that during this week, the committee has this meeting, which also needs to be, the reports of thereof needs to be adopted in the next 2 weeks. So this week, Chair, according to the parliamentary program, was reserved for oversight visit, but unfortunately, we had to deal with these budgets as well. So that is why the committee does not have, we don't see an oversight on the program, because it was only this week. And thereafter, as members would be aware, that as soon as the committees had finished considering the annual performance of the departments, then there will be mini plenaries to then consider budget votes, which will run until, unfortunately, so that is why there is no program, but no oversight on the program. But Chairperson, as we all know, sometimes parliamentary program change, which then also would effect changes on the committee. And as you had indicated, Chairperson, that indeed we are also working very hard to see that the committee does go on oversight, but sometimes the program of parliament itself does not allow. And also taking into consideration, Chairperson, that this committee oversees two departments, which is the Government Communication and Information System, and as well as the DCDT, together with all the entities reporting to those two departments. So sometimes it becomes really difficult for this committee to take on that. But as soon as the space made in the parliamentary program, which will not really affect the business of this committee, such as this one, which is legislated, and very important that the committee considers this APP so that the departments are able to then proceed with their work. So that is why Chairperson, members will not see anything for this term that talks to oversight visit. Thank you very much, and members.
Honorable Bolani, I'm sure there's been a response to the point you've made. May I then still put the point that we still allow from the content advisor side and the support that we do still make an application such that any space that gets to be open, we are considered for an oversight visit. It may be the same one that we planned, take those areas we needed to take and be able to get even more if one is to put it in that way, just to be sure that we are able to cover the space given the load of work put on the committee to do oversight. I'm not sure if that would suffice, Honorable Bolani, on your question.
Thank you, Chairperson. I know the answer.
Okay. Thank you. So in that score, may I then get honorable members a mover for adoption of the program and the seconder, of course, with the proviso would have put forward that our program remains that we would amend to effect important matters that the committee may need to consider, which may have not been in the plan. Honorable Kubeka. Honorable Kubeka.
Thank you, Chair, for the adoption of the program for the whole of this term, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Kubeka moves. Can I get a second?
I'll second, Chairperson.
Honorable Bodlani seconds. May I just check if there's an objection in adopting the program? So no objection. So the program is agreed to. And that takes us to the end of the meeting, isn't it, Mr. Mgoma? That was the last item.
That's correct, Chairperson. That was the last item. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That takes us to the end of the meeting. I must appreciate the members that you stayed up to this far, including those from the department, the ministry, PLOs. And I'm sure by now you understand what our program would look like. And of course, when there are changes, all stakeholders will be informed accordingly so that they play the role that they play. So we really appreciate even civil society organizations that keep monitoring the work that we do on behalf of society as elected representatives of the people. With that, thanks, honorable members. The meeting stays adjourned until we meet again. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.